everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Today is Monday, November 2nd. It is All Souls Day, and this is the day we honor all of those loved ones, including our companion animals who have departed this world, hopefully going on to a better place. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Our Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And happy birthday, radio. Today marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of radio, a wireless operation in Pittsburgh, which would become KDKA, which is still around in Pittsburgh, broadcast the news that Republican Warren Harding had captured the nomination and had won the presidency. Unfortunately, 2.5 years later, President Harding would be dead from a heart attack, making Vice President Calvin Coolidge the president. Every Monday, we kick things off with our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators today, seated to my left, Dr. Don Jorgensen, chairman, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Bruce Ash is here. Bruce has served pretty much 4 terms as Republican National Committeeman. I think, Bruce, what is it, 13 and a half years? Is that what it came out to be? 13 and a half years of service as the National Committeeman for the Republicans for Arizona. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. You can check out the revamped and updated website, open for e-commerce. I've got a couple of items there up for sale. Some beautiful, fine, antique maps and prints. I hope you'll check it out at moesgallery.com. You can, and they do welcome you, of course, to come into the store at Fort Lowell and Dodge, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Bruce, are you feeling pretty good about tonight? Do you think lightning will strike again 4 years later with a big upset?
Let me answer that in just a second.
Okay.
In being National Committeeman for 13 and a half years, I was actually going for the Jewish National Committeeman length of service award for Arizona. Marty Bacall was the Democrat
sure.
National Committeeman for 17 years. I was holding out
until
I could get past Marty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I decided that it was time to move on, and I don't regret, you know, leaving the RNC. But Marty was a friend growing up, and I grew up with his kids. Actually, I was their swim coach at the Tucson Racquet and Swim Club in the early 1970s. So Marty's no longer with us. I think Eva is still alive.
Eva's still doing
great. And the kids are doing great as well.
Well, that puts you in august company with Martin Bacall. It's
yeah,
a great memory to
share.
I think
so. We were kind of polar opposites, but it's okay. Bill, we're in a much better place than what we were 4 years ago today. And it really is going to be, and we've been talking about it now for how many months, a turnout election. And if we get the turnout that we anticipate, and, you know, so many of our people don't vote early. They plan on bringing their vote, even if they had an early ballot, into the polling place. I think we're going to do quite well in Arizona. I think that Martha also beats Mark Kelly, not by much. I think there's also a chance that that Tiffany Shedd upends Tom O'Halloran in CD1. She has worked very, very hard in this election campaign. She's a good gal. I think for Republicans, we're a little worried about the Schweikert seat up in Scottsdale and Paradise Valley with some of the problems that David had, relative to a former aide of his. But David has worked very hard in this election as well. So it's a turnout election. If we get the turnout, I think we win.
Why are Republicans, Bruce, before I ask Don about how he feels, why are Republicans reluctant to get into the mail, voting by mail deal?
Well, I can't speak for all Republicans.
Generally, feeling.
I can't speak for all Republicans, but I will share with you, I lived in a very Republican neighborhood for many, many years. And I was never, ever quite sure that my ballot made it in. And this is before we could track ballots the way we do today.
Yeah.
And I decided a long time ago, I just, you know, I liked voting in person. As a political activist, I wanted to sort of gauge, you know, things that I saw in the polling place with, you know, make some sort of extrapolations from there. So, you know, I plan to be at the Catalina Baptist Church at the southwest corner of Craycroft and Old Fort Lowell Road tomorrow when the polling place opens early tomorrow, and see what's going on. I haven't missed a vote for the presidency or any, you know, even year election since I was a high school senior.
Mm. Don, what's your feeling today?
Like most Democrats.
Nervous, I bet.
Nervous optimism.
Yeah, because 4 years ago we were sitting in the same spot, and if I had asked you the question, you would have been very confident.
You did, and I was.
Yeah.
And I can't say that today because, no. As most Democrats, I'd say they probably have PTSD from that last election. The polls were off, not as off as people think they were now.
They were within about 1 or 2%, weren't they, on the popular vote?
Yeah. And that was the issue. There was too much focus on the popular vote, not state by state, and those that
and
were
likely
close
voters and voters in particular states.
And that's what's so different this year. Just looking, we're talking about Arizona. Let's continue talking. We've seen increases in turnout that are unprecedented, at least in my lifetime, or the number I've been in Arizona over 40 years. We haven't seen anything like this before. And that would appear to favor Democrats because Republicans tend to have the lead in terms of turnout and always have traditionally. When we look at the numbers from the primary, the increase in Republican turnout was there, but it was nowhere near as significantly large as the Democratic turnout. And I think that may be mirrored by what we see here. The early vote, not as much of a difference as early on where we saw a huge Democratic turnout. We don't know who's voting for whom. But in terms of the turnout, Republicans turn out more in early voting in Arizona than I think is believed, certainly exacerbated this year by the coronavirus. They do tend to turn out more at the polls. And a lot of that has to do with more seniors being Republican, whereas working class voters, Democrats tend to be more working. And it's easier to vote early for that reason than to spend an hour or who knows how long standing at the polls. So you have all those differences. And now we have such an increase in early ballots, in drop-offs, which we've seen more than previously, that it's hard to get a handle on what that turnout percentage will be tomorrow. I would agree with Bruce. It probably will be a higher percentage of Republicans turning out at the polls, but perhaps not as high as in the past or as people think.
Because of COVID?
Because of COVID, because of the appointment of Louis DeJoy as head of the Postal Service, folks have got really afraid that the mail would not be delivered, and we've certainly seen horror stories about that around the country. Even today in Homestead, Florida, they're having to send more postal workers there to get the mail turned in because they found a huge backlog. And so those issues, those fears turned out to be true. That was another attempt, perhaps, at voter suppression from the right to keep the mail ballots from getting in on time. And so many Democrats that I've talked to and seen around the country and paid attention have either dropped off their ballots in person, are going to the polls to either drop their ballots off tomorrow or to vote in person. So those disparities in numbers may not be as great as we think.
The only voter suppression that's been going on has been through the media, through polls that they commission, through bogus stories that are run, through the hijack of the Drudge Report, which was really bought out by lefties, and the constant haranguing on Trump by the legacy media. You know what? It doesn't make any difference that the two major networks failed to provide any coverage, that the GDP increased by 33%, in the last quarter. It's not going to make any difference that the New York Times and some of the other legacy newspapers and some of the legacy TV networks won't report on what is pretty obviously a big scandal for the Biden family. We use the internet just as well as Democrats do. Our people are plugged in like they've never been before. And the intensity for Trump in this election is far bigger than the phenomena we saw in 2016. You've seen the rallies. It's just anecdotal sort of information. But when you take any sort of a measurement of intensity for Trump versus Biden, there's no question who's going to show up at the polls tomorrow.
Don, hold your thought. It is the Monday political face-off, and I know you have some things to say about some of the Trump rallies. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, presenting our Monday political face-off. I want to tell you about my favorite bakery in town. Usually, we get up there every weekend. It's been the case for the last 3 weeks, anyway. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Happy to report that there is plenty of outdoor dining there, some limited indoor dining as well. They're open for breakfast, open right now for lunch. Their hours, Monday through Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 7 to 2, and of course, Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Danish Kringles always sound so tempting, really any time, but when we start to talk about the upcoming holidays, it really becomes even more mouth-watering. So I'll see you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. By the way, you can call ahead, you can order online, walk in, of course, wearing a mask, and then pick up your bakery goods. We'll be right back. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management for being our sponsor of our live line. But right now we are not on the live line. We are in the studio. We have Don Jorgensen
here.
We're
live.
And we are live. Yeah. I mean, we're on the live line.
We're just,
I guess,
not, you know,
just not on the phone.
Yeah.
Which, okay. Don Jorgensen is here and Bruce Ash. And before the break, Don, Bruce was talking about the enthusiasm, and sure, there has been tremendous enthusiasm at the president's rallies, but at what cost? Is that what you might say, or what?
I would. First, I want to get to talk about the voter suppression for a second, which, mm-hmm. as Bruce pointed out, the Republicans want you to think is some media creation. But let's look just at Texas, which will dovetail into your question, too. Texas Supreme Court yesterday denied a Republican effort to invalidate over 126,000 ballots in Harris County. That's the Houston area. Simply because the Harris County folks were trying to make it easier for people to vote with drop-off, kind of drive-through drop-off. Supreme Court denied that. Republicans are trying again today to invalidate those ballots. It had nothing to do with voter fraud. It's simply reducing the numbers. The same as we've seen them try in Pennsylvania, with trying to change the rules there, and then other even kind of despicable acts like putting in fake drop boxes in California. And then what the governor in Texas did also, which was only allow one drop box per county when you have counties of almost 5 million people. So, you know, we don't need to hear that this is a media creation. This is real, and there's plenty of evidence for that. These turnout super spreader events by the president, interesting study that came out yesterday about that said that they are directly responsible for 30,000 COVID cases and perhaps 700 deaths. So that's quite a legacy that Trump is leaving with all these. But you see that kind of enthusiasm with any kind of cult of personality, which is what this really is with Donald Trump. And that's fine. They're welcome to approach it that way. The Democrats have been focused on the phones and getting out the vote. But there have also been disturbing events with this kind of Trump enthusiasm and rallies. We saw a car nearly run off the road in Texas yesterday where a bunch of these
Trump
yahoos
train,
pickup trucks, they call them Trump trains, gathering around a Biden-Harris bus. And we've seen the video where one of them literally smashes into the side of a Biden volunteer with her two children in the car. And so these kind of acts are just ridiculous. And then in New Jersey, we saw them blocking an interstate. You know, I don't understand how that helps get out the vote for Trump. So you've seen a lot of bizarre activity.
Don, do you condemn the violence with BLM and Antifa? Do you condemn the violence over and over again against members of the Jewish faith, the hateful things said about Jews by the left leaning portions of your party, which seem to be more and more every day? Do you believe that the lockdowns have been good, where there is far better documented information than what you've provided on some super spreader events, so-called. But the increased numbers of suicides and domestic abuse and truancy and juvenile delinquency that have been caused by the extreme lockdowns, do you have any sort of regret that some states, including Michigan and New Mexico and other democratically controlled states, you know, California, the governor of California and Nevada, and I think either Oregon or Washington, I don't remember which, from the news flash this morning, they want to have their own independent vaccine trials and verification process. I mean, do you think that these are good things that the Democrats do?
I completely agree with what Joe Biden said, which he condemned all the violence, but he didn't link it like you just did to all Black Lives Matter supporters, because there were two different things. And as we saw in many of those protests, a lot of that violence was caused by right-wing nationalists and anarchists and such.
Right.
You know, by the same token, do you condemn the Proud Boys? Do you condemn
the Boogaloo
Boys?
Absolutely.
Then we're talking about
that. And every
responsible
Republican does.
We are not talking about peaceful protesters.
There have been no peaceful protesters.
There was a peaceful march to the polls, to help get out the vote in North Carolina yesterday. The sheriff, and who's known to have a racist history, brought deputies there to pepper spray the peaceful protesters. There was no violence happening. They were marching to the polls with elderly, with children, and you're going to see those pictures come out. That's what's happening on the right. So don't give me this. It's just one side and looters and all this. Yes, all violence is wrong, but when peaceful protesters being attacked like they were in Lafayette Square, there's no excuse for that. And that's what we're seeing from these Trumpers.
Anybody who's been watching the news, anybody who's been following the news, knows that the Democratic Party has been in back of a lot of the protests that have been going on that have not been peaceful. The violence that has occurred in cities. We see the inaction of Democrat mayors and Democrat governors who have breached their oath of office to preserve the peace in those cities. And we see continued lockdowns and continued restrictions placed on people. When you look at the increase in the viruses here in Arizona, Don and Bill, one has to look at the number of hospitalizations and the lethality of the cases. And the average number of losses, and every loss is dear to somebody, and we all mourn them. But when you see losses, even with 2,000 people reporting in as being positive for the virus, and 1 to 2, 6 or 7 people dying a day, the means that the medical community has now mastered treatment for the virus is reducing the cases, the severe cases, and certainly the deaths all over the country. But Democrats want to continue locking people down. That's wrong.
All right. How about some predictions? You started on some of them. You didn't talk about the local races like sheriff, the supervisor's race in District 1, Scott versus Spain. Some quick predictions, Bruce Ash, and we'll have some from Don.
Spain over Scott, Christie over...
Easy on Spain or tight?
I think it'll be a clear victory. Same thing with Christie. I think that our chances elsewhere are a little bit less predictable. I think we may pick up one seat in the legislature, either in 2 or in 9. And I like Napier, I like Ford, and I like White for county posts.
Okay, Don, some of your thoughts.
Well, I
if
think
it's a big blue wave here in Pima County, it's going to impact.
I think Rex Scott will benefit from that blue wave in District 1, along with the fact that he's a far more qualified and talented candidate than Mr. Spain. I think that will be a flip there.
Does the sheriff survive, or do you think Nanos has a shot?
I wouldn't be surprised to see Napier survive that as an incumbent. You know, he hasn't done anything scandal-worthy. He got the endorsement of the Daily Star. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see him retain that position. Beth Ford versus Brian Bickle. Again, you have an excellent candidate in Brian Bickle. He knows this stuff right and left. But it's tough to beat an incumbent in a position like that where there hasn't been any scandal or any negative.
I'd like to say there. One last thing, if you'll allow me, Bill, encouraging everybody to vote, Democrats and Republicans as well. And I would ask Republicans and independents who are voting in this election, don't waste your ballot on a Libertarian candidate. There's a clear choice for president, and there's no sense mucking it up voting for Jorgensen.
Or a Green Party. I agree. Vote. Get out and vote. Respect the rights of everyone around you to vote. We don't want to see any voter intimidation or threats or nonsense at the polls. This is our chance to shine as Americans.
Don,
and this is what
Don
makes America great.
We're totally aligned on that.
And I know Mo is aligned on that as well. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. And of course, mosgallery.com, where they're doing they've upgraded the e-commerce site. So please check that out. And I want to thank Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. We've been talking about this election. It seems like forever. I'm ready to kind of put it to bed or see
it. Well, it ain't going to happen.
It won't be tomorrow night.
I think we're going to be counting and arguing for a while.
I guess so. But I'm optimistic. Anyway, guys, have a great day, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Vote.
Thank you, Bill.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at mosgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. 50 years and still growing, Green Things, since 1970. The place to go for all of your gardening needs. Green Things on a lovely 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo Village and all the fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, on the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on the military and foreign affairs. We are very honored to have retired four-star General John Wickham, Jr. General Wickham served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. His book, Korea on the Brink, is still available and does quite well, chronicling the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam. He spent over a year in the hospital recovering, but he returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all of the U.S. prisoners of war. He's a 1950 graduate of West Point. The Army Times says General Wickham is one of the 10 leaders who most changed the Army. And of course, he has so many combat decorations, including the Silver Star, Bronze Star, and the Purple Heart, to name a few. He resides in Oro Valley with his lovely wife, Anne. And one thing we don't mention as much in our intros is his collection of poetry titled On Life, Love, and Living. That book of poetry is available on Amazon. Let's go now on the live line to Oro Valley. General Wickham, how are you?
Wonderful, Bill. I appreciate the introduction you give me. It's in contrast to the introduction that Ann and I received when I went to the 101st Airborne Division. I was introduced as a warm and model major general. And we felt good about that until we looked up at the words meant in warm red, not so hot, and model red, small imitation of the real thing.
Oh, boy. General Wickham, regardless of the outcome of this election, the incoming U.S. president, whether it will be Joe Biden or another term for Donald Trump, the top geopolitical concern in Asia has to be what's going on. Is China preparing to invade Taiwan? It's a question that has not gotten a lot of publicity in this country, but I'm telling you, it is the most question asked on the social media China forums right now. What is going on in that regard, General Wickham?
Bill, I have some experience in that area. I visited Taiwan years ago and met Chiang Kai-shek there. We spoke, and Chiang actually spoke in English. And he had fled to Taiwan because of Mao Zedong, the fight that was going on there. And so they decided to form an independent party there that would maybe break away Taiwan. Taiwan has always been part of China and always will be, probably. But that was the manifestation of it. And I think the grief that China feels is that the threat of Taiwan trying to break away. And we contribute to that, unfortunately. We've given military equipment to Taiwan to defend itself. And we have practiced exercises with our naval forces to protect the island. So I've been out there. It is an indispensable piece of terrain. But I think it's an important aspect that we have to work with. Now, one broader comment, Bill, and you're well aware of this. The role that China plays in Asia is critical. It's their domain, if you will. And we're going to deal with issues like North Korea and try to get the North Koreans to behave more responsibly. We've got to have China's influence and role. And with and even with other countries like Japan, Japan could go on a negative path with nuclear proliferation if they chose to. And there's some talk about that among the legislators. And so we've got to deal with China in a responsible way, and we got to work harder at building a relationship instead of calling them foul names and criticizing them. We need to work with them as an ally and good friend. And they are. They are a good friend, and they can be an ally in dealing with issues in Asia. Now, the challenges they're going to face would be the South China Sea, where China is exercising more influence and power, building islands, and there's going to be aircraft on those islands, and they're going to threaten shipping and air power in the South China Sea. So we got a controversial area there, all the more reason to work more closely with China. The Philippines also feel strongly about China and the role that they play. Ann and I, having lived in the Philippines, we understand the Philippine concern about that area. So I think we have an important role to go through, but you're exactly right, Bill, to emphasize the importance of Taiwan and the dangers that we may be beginning to face.
General Wickham, the BBC had a piece over the weekend quoting a Chinese official with their war college who says that he has been working with his team for the last 20 years on orders to have the capability and capacity to launch a military invasion against Taiwan. So obviously, this is something that they're not just been thinking about overnight.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And the manifestations of this aggressive nationalism that exists, and you visited China in the public square where Mao Zedong's remains are held for visitation. In one corner of that square is a monument, and most visitors never see it. It's all in Mandarin Chinese. But guess what? It is a monument to the Chinese that died during the opium wars, the drug wars, that we were launched against China to dominate Chinese so that the Western nations could gather wealth and influence with the Chinese economy. So he wanted to poison the people and keep them in resistance so that they would not be a problem for us. So as an illustration, therefore, of the nationalism that exists in China towards the West and the United States and Britain in particular. So that's going to lead itself to doing things like we're going to invade Taiwan or do other things like that. So we've got to recognize those realities and try to work with them in a cohesive way. When Ann and I visited China, the guys that we had spoke rather freely about their attitude towards the West. They had great affection for America and respect for American policy, but they were saying to us, we need to have you work more closely with us in a friendly way to try to build better relationships. So they are seeking that positive sideline amid the nationalism which exists in spades in China.
General Wickham, always a pleasure. How are you doing these days? You sound great.
Oh, I sound great every time I talk to you, Bill, and the wonderful work you do with your program, trying to spread objective views on foreign policy to American people.
Thank you very much, General Wickham. Always a pleasure. Have a great day, and my very best to your lovely wife, Anne. Thank you, General.
And same to you, Anne. God bless.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham, appearing the first Monday of the month with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Up next, the Mexico Report with Keith Rosenblum. Our friends to the south watching this election very, very carefully. Keith is up next.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all the wonderful recreation opportunities and great places to stay, so you'll be ready to return to Silver City and the Land of Enchantment. Silver City, only a three-hour drive from the Tucson area, and you'll be all ready. You can start your planning now that when New Mexico opens up fully to out-of-state visitors, you will be ready. Our Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to longtime Mexico Observer reporter Keith Rosenblum, who is responsible for the Buckmaster Show Mexico Report. And of course, Keith, the folks south of the border keeping a very close eye on our election, I'm sure. How are you, sir?
Bill, on your listeners, I today also will be observing Mexico.
From a little.
I'm actually half an hour from downtown Nogales, but I have plenty to observe prior to arriving there.
There you go. How is President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador viewing this election? Who is his favorite in the big showdown?
Well, he wants Trump to win. He is. What are all those cliches? I know you never use them.
No.
But he wants to hitch his horse. He wants to. He and Trump have a lot in common. And both Lopez Obrador follows a Trump coursework as well as Trump following a Lopez Obrador. And so my take is this. My take is that half of Mexico doesn't care where our election goes. But for the other half that does care, the majority would hope for a Biden victory. Mexico has its own history of strong men with no deference to the either judiciary or the legislative system. And so they understand the importance of checks and balances. Plus, Mexico arguably has a press that's a lot more timid than our own. So, you know, the fourth estate as well. Anyway, Lopez Obrador has long since been a supporter of Trump. He thanks him, which is weird. He thanks him for not intervening in domestic Mexican affairs, which is a strange thing to thank someone. It's like, thank you, Bill, for not, you know, taking a swing at me the last time I saw you at a Safeway.
Jeez.
But he's clearly doing that. And it's because Lopez Obrador himself has a disdain for the legislative and the judiciary process. He really does fancy himself in a kind of a messianic way to be the leader of the Mexican people, and particularly the disenfranchised. He's not too distant. He's a much more responsible, economically responsible, or fiscally conservative Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. And my take is that we're headed that way as well if we have a Trump victory again tomorrow. We like the idea of a strong man. What's to be concerned of? Why should we worry about a goofy House of Representatives or a ridiculous Senate or a judiciary that will go out and pack the judiciary anyway? And so Lopez Obrador would be, you know, it's funny because I was actually in a conference the other day hosted by UCSD, University of California, San Diego Center for U.S. Mexican Studies. And they had a whole slew of fabulous speakers from the U.S. and Mexico talking about the election. And one in particular is one of Mexico's premier columnists. He would be like a George Will in the U.S. His name's Carlos Loret de Mola. And Carlos Loret de Mola says that he calls his own president. He calls President Lopez Obrador the governor of the state south of Texas. that's how Donald Trump treats him. And that he says, go ahead and please, you know, send the National Guard to your border to keep it free of Central Americans. Yes, I'll do that, sir. Also, I want you to, you know, help us with the arrest as well. Yes, I'll do that, sir. So he holds Lopez Obrador as being nothing more than a kind of a lackey for President Trump anyway. And a lot of Mexico sees him in that light, too.
You're going to see a change if Biden is elected, I would assume, with the border wall. You could probably see that construction stop. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, my hunch is that it would just stop, and these will be relics. It'll be kind of like the Wall of China, a less effective one, but people will go visit it. It'll become actually good tourism for people that are interested in U.S. history, kind of like battlefields, but this will just be isolated sectors of wall along the way. But if there were to be a Biden presidency, what'll happen is it'll be much more the institutionalization or the return of an institutional approach to dealing with Mexico. The Mexican system, and this is what they were talking about in this conference as well from UCSD, they were talking about how the United States has become the Mexican system of the North. In other words, it's who you know, who's your friend, how can you do things, which is the way that Mexicans have been doing things for 100 years, and that we've now become that way. So if there were to be a Biden presidency, what will happen is it'll be a return to the State Department functions at the embassy, a return to an institutionalization of the processes or the relationship between two countries. Right now, it's who do you know who knows Jared Kushner? That's pretty much what foreign policy is. And who do we know who has the president's ear? It has nothing at all to do with traditional processes or diplomatic channels.
There won't be much change with trade because the NAFTA 2.0 has already been approved, correct?
Yes, but never discount the powers of the arbitrary powers of a president. Yes, that is in place. But as we've learned, we've done lots of betraying or defying of a trade and then been penalized later in the, not the world court, but whatever the body is that hears trade complaints. Our president still wields that stick. Later on, we can be punished for it. But don't underestimate the short-term impact, a month or two or three or four or five, of soybean or steel or avocado or those things can be implemented tomorrow, make a huge difference in our economy. And it's 5 months after the fact or a year after the fact. Oh, by the way, Mexico won that anti-dumping case against the U.S. So the amount of damage that can be done anyway, because we give the executive that power even to undo or to circumvent the code, which is, yes, it's the NAFTA number two. It's very easy to override that in the interest of national security or because you want to appease a certain economic group in the U.S.
How are they doing with the vaccine in Mexico? Will they beat us to the punch on that one, Keith Rosenblum?
Supposedly, there's been this alliance with Russia. It's really interesting. Russia, how is the Russian, Argentine, Venezuelan approach? And López Obrador has said that this will, the number of sick and the number of deaths, the mortality rate of COVID, I think mirrors the United States. The United States is evidently, in the world, we're not good, we're not bad insofar as the way we've gone about things. We're not as good as Asia, we're not as bad as certain countries in Europe or in Africa. But the Mexican rate, the mortality rate, has paralleled ours. So their own Secretary of Health, Hugo Gatell, I can't remember his second last name, has been also, he's basically like a Fauci. He's, under fire from half the population and loved by the other half. But Mexico has hitched itself to this Russian vaccine, which everyone says, seeing will be believing, ver para creer, whether it actually is available earlier than anything that we get.
All right. I've been interested because they've been vaccinating a lot of people with it in Russia, and I haven't heard anything about how that's going. So who knows?
It's also important, it's important to bring to the attention of your listeners that Mexico is watching our elections right now, but also Mexico in 2021 has its own. That is the 300 members of the Chamber of Deputies, and then there's 200 more that are not geographically elected, but are rather put into the Chamber of Deputies, which is their House of Representatives, on the basis of the vote. So, in other words, if in the U.S., we can have 435 districts decided by a 51-49 margin, and the minority has no presence anywhere, right? Because everything is a geographical election. But in Mexico, they have 300 who are directly related by where they live, with the area that they represent. And then the next 200 are deputies, or that's what they call them, but representatives who have a party alliance, but not necessarily a geographic one.
All right.
So next year, those 500 will reappear. That could also change the way that things are going in Mexico as well. Also, the governor of Sonora, 15 governorships out of 32 are at stake next year.
Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Stay safe. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Bill. Bye.
Keith Rosenblum reporting for the Buckmaster Show on his way to Mexico. He may have actually been in Mexico. But anyway, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back Election Day with you, 12:04. Until then, be safe. Have a great day.